All right, welcome back to the Ottawa studios of Inside My Canoe Head. I am your host, Dr. D. Listen, today we're going to talk about how I changed my future path, designing your life, how to navigate these chaotic, ridiculous, and crazy times we live in. So sit back, grab yourself your favorite beverage. Let's get at her. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Listen, my friends, every one of us know that right now the world is pear-shaped. It's chaotic. It's crazy. Each one of us, irrespective of where we choose to live and what we're choosing to do every day, feel to some degree like the world is spinning out of our control, or at least in a direction that either we don't agree with or it is totally illogical to us and we do not understand why this seems the pathway that we followed along and headed towards. So today I want to talk about not just ramblings about the world, but I want to talk about my situation, my path, how I changed in the face of all of this. And hopefully you can take some nuggets of wisdoms or some experience of what not to do from it. So thanks again for joining us here at Inside My Canoe Head. Thanks for all your feedback that continues to come in. If you have any comments about this channel or this podcast or anything else that we do here, drop us a line over at jeff@preparednesslabs.ca. If you visit our website, www.insidemycanoehead.ca, all of the information that you need sits there wonderfully waiting for you to go have a look. So, yeah, it is 2024. It is crazy. And I remember way back in January of 2020, pre-pandemic, and we thought the Australian wildfires were going to be that idea that would drive the decade, that we would have all of these anomalies popping up. And then our little friend from Wuhan showed up, dealt us a little side blow. Russians decided to invade Ukraine. The world started burning in 2023. And then you can just add on to that a series of economic shocks that are 100% totally beyond all of our individual control. And we sit there and we're asking ourselves, WTF? Seriously, what does this mean for you and I, and how do we navigate it? So let me lay out what happened to me and why I'm in the position I am now. So everybody comes on these podcasts and they give you their ideas and their stories. So why should you listen to me? I think it's important to just periodically revisit why I'm here. Well, I am a veteran. I served 28 years in Her Majesty's service in the Canadian Army, retired and trying to figure out in my late 40s as to what the heck I was going to do next, right? It's a shock. You don't always, I knew my career would end sometime. Everybody's job ends. It just ended at a time that was a little bit different than the plan. You know what I mean? Like it was, yeah, I knew it was coming to an end, but it was a little bit of a shocker exactly how it happened. And then I sit here and I'm like, okay, so I'm not ready to just, you know, join the old folks club and start golfing nine holes a day. There's something out there that needs to be done. So I was trying to figure out where my world goes to next. How does it work? Especially when you come from a very highly managed hierarchical system in the military where everything is literally laid out for you. There are other people who choose what your next job is and what city you and your family are going to live in. There are people who tell you what to do every day, whether you want to speak to them or not, and whether you agree with the task or not. Absolutely every part of your life, other than the few minutes, and I mean that literally, minutes of leisure that you can figure out how to carve out, is literally super planned for you. And then all of a sudden, you get your arse kicked out a front door and you land into this civilian reality that is totally, totally separate and distinct and ideologically run differently than the military. It is incredibly shocking. So if you know any veterans, hopefully you could start to understand how when you move from a very hierarchically orderly society into a society that runs completely differently, many of the veterans are lost. Like I don't, ever had a family doctor in the military. I just went when I needed medical care. I took a number, essentially. I sat in line. I got served. I got what I needed, and I got out of there and got back after it, right? Full stop. There wasn't this search for family doctors, booking an appointment. I just showed up every day because the place opened at 7:30. It was a walk-in clinic. You walked in, you took a number, you signed up, you sat there, you got whatever you needed done, and then you got the hell out of there. There was never this idea of whether you're rostered with a doctor or you had to have a family doctor. Like, get out of here, man. We just went to the medical center when we needed help. Now, the culture and ideologically was you only went there when you absolutely emphatically couldn't deal with it yourself. But that's just an example of what it's like. So how did I change my future path? How did I figure out where the world looks next? Well, the first part that I realized is this is substantially different, and this is what the Stoics meant about being responsible for your outcomes. And you'll hear that through a lot of my material. You follow me across social media, whether you've read the books that I've published or you've taken our course that we have at preparednesslabs.ca, you'll understand there's an underpinning personal responsibility to everything that I talk about, because that was the hardest shock for me, is that I actually have to do everything, right? I wasn't spoon-fed absolutely everything. Now, I was spoon-fed everything in the military. Now, whether I wanted it or not was an entirely different conversation we can have and park off to the side. But the reality was, in the real world, you have to be responsible for it, right? You have to be your best advocate. Nobody is going to come save you. Nobody is going to come rescue the day. And it is up to you to decide whether the current path you're on is exactly what you've been chasing your whole life. And this is incredible that you get to do this opportunity every day. And you pinch yourself in the morning as to how lucky you are. If anything is short of that standard, then it is your responsibility to get off your arse and get after what it is you want. Right? Are there barriers? Absolutely. Are there obstacles? You betcha there's lots of obstacles out there. But there's nobody to blame for your lack of success, or there's nobody to take credit for your great accomplishments but you. It's really that simple, right? People try to complicate and they tell me all these things are going on and all these things are preventing them and their socioeconomic situation and the fact that they're broke and the fact that they're out of shape. And everybody can give you a litany of reasons why they are unable to achieve what it is that they want to fulfill in their lives. And at the point I was at, I realized that there's literally nobody coming to figure this out for me. Now, I had some ideas and I had some goals, right? So everything starts with where you want to be in the future. It's a really simple thing to do. It doesn't cost any money. I've got a bunch of episodes, previous episodes in last three seasons, actually, about how to design your future life, how to build a strategy to accomplish whatever it is you want, right? To get you on that pathway. Now, whether you accomplish it or not will be 100% up to you. And I often say success or failure, 100% of it will be my fault. And that's exactly the way it should be. So whether I get to $1 million revenue a year or whether I never get past $10,000 revenue in a year, that's my fault. Both outcomes are my fault. But where do you want to be in the future? And you have to be able to define that. People just say, oh, I don't know. I just want it better than now. Well, that's great, because if you live in that world, you can't achieve anything that's not articulated. And so how do we articulate it? Well, the strategy that we recommend and that I used, and I recommend it because it worked for me, and it's based upon a bunch of research I did over a couple of years in human behavior analysis. We look at, you essentially have five areas of life that matter: your physical health, your mental health, your financial health, your personal relationships, and your professional endeavors, right? Basically the five areas of life. Everything else can kind of work into that. So you look at that. And those are your five areas that you examine. Where do I want to be? For example, I had three things that I wanted to accomplish post-retirement. In my new life, whatever that may turn out to be, I wanted to be a professor. I wanted to teach graduate level university. Second thing is I wanted to be a published author. I wanted to have a book or books for sale on Amazon. The last one was I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know what that looked like. I just know I wanted to set up an independent company and try to sell people stuff. and see how successful I could be as a 100% entrepreneur. Because remember, that is dichotomically different from a high structured environment within the military, right? Everything is governed very tightly by the people who have a lot more rank than I did. And everything was well guided and followed a path they set, whether I agreed with it or not. The juxtaposition to that is being an entrepreneur, right? It's being out there and making all of the decisions yourself and understanding that 100% of the outcome, irrespective of whether it's positive or negative, will be my fault and a direct result of decisions I make. So I had three goals, and this is what worked for me, is now I set out and I said, okay, here are my three goals. What do I have to do? And let's take the book writing one, right? Because right now I have two books for sale, three books actually for sale on my Amazon store. If you're interested, Google up Jeff Donaldson on books, and there I am. So you have three books that are written, but I didn't have any books. So what do you have to do to have a book? Well, you have to write a book, right? And if I'm going to write a book, I need to have a subject matter. If I have a subject matter, you follow this backwards, right? So in reality, my dream of being a published author, the goal, which is one step down from dreams, was a published book, right? Okay, so now my goal of publishing a book on Amazon, which anybody can do, right? Then I had to write the book. Okay, I need to write a book. Well, what do I have to do to write a book? And as you work down a line, if you can visualize it, it turns into nothing more than a series of edible chunks when you eat the elephant. You know that old analogy of how do I eat an elephant? Well, I eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So I turned writing a book into about 40 individual little steps that needed to happen sequentially to have a published book. And I did it. I just started and I said, okay, I've got these 40 tasks. Okay, task number one, write an outline. Well, writing an outline of the book is going to take me, I think it's going to take me 2 days. So I went to a calendar and I booked off 2 days to write an outline. You see how that works? Every one of those edible chunks turned into calendar appointments that went into my calendar. And then all I had to do was execute what was in my calendar. I didn't have to think about what I was doing tomorrow. I'd already done that. Today I had this task. Execute this task. You're done. You're off. Right? And so I became the published author. I now have three books and I have a fourth one that I plan on writing before Christmas vacation this year. Right? So I now am a published author and I follow the same thing. I'm non-entrepreneur. I am a company called Preparedness Labs Incorporated, and we provide preparedness education and mentoring guidance to people in the 21st century. As well, I have a professor. I teach disaster and emergency management graduate level education. And I'm very proud of that. And I've had the opportunity to interact with some pretty incredible and intelligent individuals. I learn arguably more than they do. And that's just the benefit of being a professor, right? So the point being is I had three goals and I figured them out. And the understanding is, how do you zero in on that in a crazy, busy, chaotic world, is that you understand the Stoic principle of dichotomy. And I keep coming back to Ryan Holiday's book, that I read every single day, called The Daily Stoic, right? It's literally on my counter behind me right now. Every morning when I come down to the office, I open up my journal. I write some thoughts about the day, whatever's on my mind, to just get it out, because penmanship, I think, is something that we need to maintain. So I write it out with a pen on paper, and then I pull out my Daily Stoic and I read my Daily Stoic, very much like a religious person would read a piece of scripture. People who look at philosophy and people who think about Stoicism will read this. And one of the key tenets of Stoicism is the dichotomy of control. And it essentially means that everything that happens in the world to you and around you falls into one of two general categories. It's either within your control or it's not within your control. And it's really that simple. And Stoicism teaches that you are best served if you spend your time worrying about only those things that are within your control. And another principle of Stoicism is called amor fati, and it essentially means love fate, literal translation. But it means that what you do is you joyfully and willfully accept everything that's beyond your control, right? So in other words, things that you cannot control will simply happen. You accept that they are what they are, and you carry on with your life only worrying about what is within your control. And then when you look at, when you understand that, you start looking at your goals and your dreams, and the world starts to make a little bit more sense. So how did I change that? Well, I followed the Design Your Life strategy, which is something that we have here at Inside My Canoe Head. It's, like I said, it's on previous episodes. I took those five areas that I talked about, your mental, financial, and physical health, my relationship status, and my professional endeavors, and I put them in a, you know, a left-hand column, an Excel spreadsheet, whiteboard, whatever you choose to use. And I'm setting out a one-year plan, right? Now, I have a 1, 3, and 5-year plan, and we're going to talk a bit about strategy later on in season 10. But what we're talking about today is that this is how I decided to change my life, right? And a lot of it came from the military was a very planned environment, so I decided to place order into chaos. You ever hear that saying before, order into chaos? It just means that what's within my control, I'm going to execute myself. I'm going to set up my future for success or put me on the path towards it, knowing that other things can happen and influence it. So I did this and I set out my physical, my mental, my financial health. And it's not about blaming where I am, right? I was overweight, still a mildly overweight, but I was really overweight when I retired, right? Okay. Nobody's coming to get me fit, right? Nobody's going to come get me to lose weight. So I sat down, I said, in a year, where do I want to be for my physical health? In a year, where do I want to be in my mental health? In a year, where do I want my professional life? So for example, in a year, my goal was to publish my first book in 1 year. I gave myself 12 months. I was sitting around, I didn't even know the idea that I would write about, but in 12 months, I wanted to have an ebook up for sale on Amazon.ca, and it was up. And it's still there for $7, Preparedness Simplified the Beginning. Great book. Love it. Had a fantastic editor in that. And she was exceptionally helpful. And today I'm now up to 3 and soon to be 4. But I laid it out simply where I wanted to be. And then on the left-hand side of a column, I put where I was. So I basically had a reflective exercise where I sat down and I looked and I said, okay, for example, I want to be 180 pounds. And I weigh 236. Okay. So that's a 56-pound weight loss I needed to do for my own health. I'm in my early 50s. It is not a good thing to be that heavy when you're only, I'm only 5'11", right? So 5'11" man, and this is for all you men listening out there, on average should weigh about 170 to 180 pounds. If you're not a bodybuilder, let's set that aside. Unless you're a finite group of people who actively power lift or bodybuild, if you're a 5'11" male, you should not have a 2 in front of your weight, right? That's tough reflection for a lot of people in today's world. That's just health guidelines. It's not me. That's general health guidelines. So I needed to get there, and so I laid out a pathway. How do I get from, and this is a good visualization, how do I get from 236 to 180, 56 pounds down in a year? How do I do that? Well, losing 56 pounds is a lot. Losing 10 pounds isn't. So I broke it into edible chunks. So each, you know, at intervals, I said, okay, right now I'm going to try to get to 225. And then I'm going to try to get to 215. And then I'm going to try to get to 205. You know what I mean? So I wasn't trying to lose 56. I was trying to lose 10. And you set it up incrementally like that. And the reason being this worked for me is because I, like many people out there, when are faced with overwhelming, dramatic, significant changes that are required, often will choose to abort. Avoidance behavior will come apathy. These things happen the same when we try to educate individuals in emergency preparedness or preparedness for life, right? So when we talk about preparedness education, we talk about the fact that preparedness is a totality of actions and ideological thinking that you adopt prior to an event, right? So that you're best able to navigate that event as it presents itself, because the vast majority, if not the totality of events that are going to impact you, are not of your making, but you are in them. by whatever happenstance, chance, location, job, whatever, family, whatever event happens, you happen to be there. What preparedness does is sets you up for success and your ability to successfully navigate this disruption with having that, with the disruption, having minimal to nominal impact on you, how you conduct your normal daily life. Now, the first 20% of preparedness is very familiar to everybody. That's your familiarity into disaster planning and emergency. So that's thinking about hazard risks, earthquakes, floods, power outages, evacuations, and very important things, very much. But that's 20% of the preparedness spectrum, right? We use an open door theory here at Inside Mike and Newhead and Preparedness Labs Incorporated, where we open the door to actual preparedness for life by talking about your trifecta of preparedness plans, right? And so by adopting the trifecta of preparedness plans, and then you use the third one as your open door, this is your financial one. This is the one that says, what is your plan when you get fired, right? Because everybody will lose their current job. Every single one of you listening to this podcast will lose your job. You'll die, you'll quit, you'll retire, you'll get fired, right? And hopefully, and I sincerely wish this, that you get to do that at a time and place of your choosing, but let's be brutally honest, you will lose your job. What's your plan when you lose your job? Now, you don't know why you might lose your job. Right now, you're working really hard on a project at work, and there's an HR team figuring out how to arrange Monday's firing for you, right? It's tough. It's the reality of the world. You walk into a skyscraper in downtown Toronto into the lobby, expecting to head up and tackle the day's tasks. You're excited. You're invigorated. You had a great weekend with family and friends. It's Monday morning. You're dressed in your best you want for success, and you're met by HR and security downstairs, and you're ushered into a side room, sat down where there is a banker's box with all your personal possessions. You have been locked out of everything. They ask for your BlackBerry. BlackBerry might be dating myself a little bit. They ask for your work phone, and it's all over right then and there. Welcome to reality, right? Or something happens like a tornado went through your hometown. Well, thankfully, it missed your home, but guess what it did? It wiped out your place of work, right? The owner's obviously not going to pay you because there's no income coming in. So all of a sudden, your work is gone. This is where preparedness opens the door to your whole of life, using it as a framework for your existence. And we got a lot more episodes coming future right now. But for me, that was the point where I realized this is different, right? This life post-military, coming in, being responsible for my own outcomes, setting down and designing it was up to me, but I better wrap that sucker in a blanket of insulation to protect me from exogenous shocks, right? Because if you fall back on the Stoic philosophy of within my control and not within my control, what am I doing to get ready for all of those events that could happen to me that are beyond my control? And look at the world today, right? Look at the state of the world. Look at the state of events that are happening. And remember, we're talking about political events. We're talking about economic events. We're talking about ideological events. We're talking about faith-based events. We're talking about everything that is going on in the world around you, the which you do not have control, but may affect you. That is what I realized, that holy smokes, I need to protect myself to the best extent possible against the influences of all those events that are going to have on me. That turned into the impetus for the book that I wrote, Preparedness Simplified, Book One, The Beginning, that is up available on Amazon right now. The link is at our website, preparednesslabs.ca. And that started the writing of the book when I realized that I need to be insulated from all of this. And that was the key where preparedness became that adoption of the mantra here for this podcast, which, by the way, and I was saving this announcement for later for all of those who are still here 24 minutes in, it is 4 years and one day ago today that Inside My Canoe Head's first episode was broadcast to the world, April 28th, 2020. So I want to take a moment here to thank all of those who were very very influential and supportive throughout my journey of this podcast. We're now downloaded in 50 plus countries on 6 continents, well over 12,000 downloads for all of our episodes, 250 plus episodes, and over 4 years on the air, bringing the message of preparedness and personal responsibility, designing your life and setting yourself up for incredible opportunities in the future. And the whole point of this podcast here today is really to zero in on the fact that the concept of how to change your future path is first founded in understanding that you have to do it, that nobody's going to do it for you. Understanding you have to express where you want to be, what exactly are you having? And this is where you transform your dreams into goals, goals into tasks, tasks into deliverables, deliverables into calendar appointments, right? It's a construction. And if you're familiar with a Gantt chart, man, if you're into project management, even the slightest, go on to YouTube. And again, you don't have to take courses in this. Go on to YouTube and learn about Gantt charts and project management. And there's lots of programs on there. Basically, it is brilliant because it accesses and it builds the calendar for you if you're not skilled in that. So basically, you're going to say, I want to write a book, right? And you start building all of the tasks, right? Just as I said, breaking them down piece by piece, and it comes down to a series of deliverables that have to happen in a sequential order, and you add them to your calendar, and it moves everything around. So if, for example, you got up today, and today was wrong, right? We all have those days where, no, today is about consuming oxygen and successfully making it to tomorrow. We've all had days like that, right? So you take today's appointment and you'd move it to tomorrow. Well, the Gantt chart would automatically, the project management software would automatically move every single appointment in your calendar forward to accommodate the change in the schedule instead of you having to do it. It's a brilliant software, but the end result is you realize you've got to set your dreams. What do you want to be? You've got to set your goals to meet those dreams. What, you know, a dream, I want to be a writer. Well, what the heck does that mean? Well, it means the actual goal is to have a book published and for sale on Amazon. I use Amazon because I self-publish. Other people want to get a manuscript together and try to get a publishing company to publish them, whatever. You do you, I do me. I go with the self-publish because my success or failure on that will be due to the amount of advertising that I do. So fair enough. You have that specific goal. Now, how do you write a book? Well, you break it down into a series of tasks. Each one of those tasks are then broken down into a series of deliverables that have to be done to accomplish that one task. Those deliverables are then turned into calendar appointments laid out sequentially in the appropriate order on your calendar, and bam, you just laid out a plan to write your book. You have to do this yourself. It worked for me. It seems a bit laborious. Doesn't cost any money, right? This doesn't cost a freaking penny. I write my books in Apple Notes software. You can use whatever you want. You can use Canva to cover your books. It's very, very simple. I could lay out the same strategy that I used to become a professor. I wanted to earn my PhD. Now, you don't need a PhD to teach at the graduate level. A master's degree in the field is fine. But I wanted to have a PhD for a personal life accomplishment, so I had a roadmap to complete a PhD, right? I had a roadmap to become an author, and then I had a roadmap to become an entrepreneur. Well, because guess what? The dream is I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but what's the specific goal? Well, in Canada, I needed to start a private corporation in Canada, right? I needed a product to sell. I needed to then do marketing to try to tell people what a great product I have and the problem that I was addressing and solving in their lives, and that I'm the best possible solution for that, right? Those are a whole bunch of series of tasks that were broken down into deliverables that became calendar appointments, and you're in. It's really no more complicated than that, but it requires you to do it. And none of it requires any money. This is the point. There are no socioeconomic barriers to success, right? Because everybody thinks I can't get forward because of barriers and obstacles, right? And what you have to do is write down every barrier or every obstacle that you foresee is going to be between you and your dream, right? what were the barriers between me and understanding and writing a book, right? Very simple. There were a lot of them. I didn't know how to write a book. Now, I knew how to write, but I didn't know how do you write a book that can be successful? How do you publish a book? How do you create an Amazon account? How do you do marketing for books? All of this is available free of charge on YouTube or on various different websites. You don't have to pay for this training. It's all free of charge. There are no economic barriers to you becoming a published author. None whatsoever. Zero. The only barriers are ones that you put in front of you, right? And you might say, oh, well, I don't have a... I don't have a computer. Great. Well, guess what? Public libraries have computers that you can sign out for an hour. Okay. Now one of the limitations you have is you only have an hour of time a day where you can do typing. Well, how do we maximize that hour? Well, we're going to do some preparatory hours at home where I don't have a computer. Like, you take an obstacle and you take a barrier that's between you and your goal, and you devise a solution for yourself. Make sure the solution is one that doesn't cost any money, because then it takes away the economic barrier, right? And then you just work through them. So basically, I had 12, I think it was, in total, obstacles between me and becoming a published author. I sat down and I looked at all 12 of those obstacles, and I turned them into solutions, right? Say, for example, I didn't own a computer. Well, what's the no-cost solution to access a computer? It was the library. Done. Now, I had a little bit of retirement benefits from the military, so guess what I did? I bought a computer. Fair enough. I have home internet access. Fair enough. Not everybody does have that. I get it. But it's not a preventative thing. It's an obstacle you have to figure out how to get over. So if I only had an hour a day of time to the public library, and I needed to walk to public library, because again, not everybody has money for public transit and not everybody has a car, right? So what did I would figure out all of this, and you work your way through every barrier and obstacle till the end result is you have a series of actions that get you to your goal. It's really that simple. It's what I used when I stopped looking for the magical solution. I stopped looking for the course the button I could press to make it all go away and to make everything solved, and realize that I had to lay out the strategy from A to B. I had to execute it. I had to overcome the barriers or obstacles in my place. And I had to believe that I was going to do this, right? That's simple. It's not any more complicated than that. This is how I accomplished my three principal goals upon retirement from the military. As I became a published author, I became a professor, and I became an entrepreneur. Now, I have a different set of goals that I'm working towards right now in each one of those three areas of my life. I plan on writing more books, I plan on teaching more courses, and I plan on building my business. That's what I do. That's what I do, because that's what I want to do, not what somebody else might think is best for me, not what somebody else wants me to do, but this is what I want. And I'll end on this idea. There was a study released in the late 2010s by an individual who did over 35,000 consultations with people on their deathbed, and they looked at the regrets of the dying. And this was a multi-year, if not close to a decade-long study, where they looked at 35,000 interactions with people who were in respite care and had to look and knew their end was near, and they had to look back on their lives. The number one regret of the dying in every study is not living the life that they wanted, instead living the life that everybody told them they should. So don't. Sit back today, grab your piece of paper or your whiteboard or the note application on your phone, and say, what do I really want to be doing? Set out the goals, follow what I talked about today, and start building that life that you want, so that when you swing your legs out of bed every morning, you can't wait to get after it and do the things you love. Because in the end, when you're on your deathbed, you want to look back and say, I did what I wanted to do, not what others told me I should do, right? And I set an example for the next generation, for my children and my children's children, that life is about chasing your dreams. Yeah, you got to pay your own way, I get it. but you can still chase your dreams and pay your way. So thanks for joining us this week on Inside Mike Newhead. Hopefully that was helpful for you, telling my story, putting a little bit of humanity behind it, saying, listen, it really is that simple about you figuring it out, but you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to overcome the obstacles. It's only you. All of your feedback, we love it here at Inside Mike Newhead. Drop over to our website, www.insidemikenewhead.ca. There's a little note place there. You can drop me a line at jeff@preparednesslabs.ca. There's a button there. If you love the podcast and you want to say thanks for us for doing great work here, you can drop me and buy me a coffee, or you can simply do the one thing that matters most. If you're going to do nothing else, tell somebody else about the podcast. Tell somebody else to become a follower on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it may be. We thank you. We appreciate it. It will always be here and it will always be free. This is my community service to the world. Take care, stay safe, and have fun.